My life verse for decision making is Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
So thank you, Pastor Blake. Thank you, Breeze Church, for your strategic partnership with Fire Bible. And we pray that your greatest days are in front of you. Also want to just make a quick commercial. I have a book called The Generosity Gene. Much of what you hear today is in the book. So if you're inspired, I'll be out there and would love for you to have a copy. They're free today for a donation of $15. So just, yep. And the signature will cost you nothing more than that. By the way, part of my portfolio with Fire Bible is that I lead pastor vision trips to where we have projects all over the world. And I'll actually be taking a group of pastors with me in September to Armenia and to Turkey. And so if any of you, I haven't seen him, but if any of you see Pastor Blake this morning, maybe mention to him that this would be a great trip for him to be on. So just there you go. So you might be familiar with this phrase, "In God we trust." What you may not know is that it was originally used on coins during the Civil War, and it was later adopted as the official motto of the United States in 1956. The meaning denotes that the political and economic prosperity of a nation is in the hands of God. How many of you know we've backslidden pretty bad since then? But in 1956, our nation imprinted on its money that we believe and that we stated that the political and economic prosperity of our nation is in the hands of God. But this morning, I want to take that idea and I want to kind of personalize that in the context of in God we trust with all our stuff. Exodus chapter 35, verse 5 says this, "From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering." Exodus 36, verse 7, and I love that this just happens to be in the King James translation. Notice the terminology here. "For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." If you don't hear anything else today, and you know you're at lunch later, and it's like you're talking about what you know what the message was, what the preacher talked about, I'm gonna make it real simple for you. Today we're gonna talk about stuff. Particularly your stuff and my stuff, but I want to unpack this idea, "In God we trust with all our stuff." Let me give some context to these verses. If you study or you read through the book of Exodus, over 20 chapters is dedicated to God giving to Moses the original blueprint and design for that original tabernacle, with every minute detail for everything from the craftsmanship to the materials to how it was to be purposed and how it was to be used, over 20 chapters. But if you look at how God, his plan to resource said tabernacle, they can be summarized into these two verses. This is God's modus operandi for funding any vision that he gives to his leaders. Notice what they did. "From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering." And they did it, it said, from the stuff that they had, it was more than enough to resource the vision that God gave to Moses. And so daily they brought the stuff, they brought the materials, and then the craftsmen took those materials and designed it. And this was God's beautiful and glorious plans. How many of you know that God's modus operandi is still the same? He looks to his people to resource the vision. There's no greater vision on planet Earth than to going into all the world and taking the gospel. And so that's what we're partnership with. It's funny because basically what I do, I don't fit in the grid anywhere. I was a pastor for 30 years, and I'm no longer pastoring a church, but I'm still a pastor at heart. I do almost exclusive missions work, but I'm not a missionary. It's an honor to be called a missionary. It's an honor to be referred to as pastor, and yet I'm not actively in those specific roles. You see, my calling is to resource missions. And so that's what I get to do on a full-time basis, and it's very exciting. But let's turn the tables. Let me ask you a question this morning. Could it be that it's the stuff in your life right now that may very well be the seed to your greatest harvest? A good friend of mine who is now in his mid-80s, but Sam was one day traveling across the plains of North Dakota, and he saw an advertisement for a seed company that said, "The most important day of the harvest is the day you choose your seed." Robert Schuller said it like this. He said, "Any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed." You see, this is a typical apple. It's not a Florida apple. I brought it from me from Georgia. But it's pretty standard, and if we were to cut open this apple, we would find that on an average, there are 5 to 8 seeds in the core of this apple. Now, to grow from a seed to a fruit-bearing tree takes between 6 to 10 years. From a single seed, a tree can produce upwards to 1,000 apples per season. A typical tree has a fruit-bearing lifespan of approximately 20 years, and so it has the potential of producing upwards to 20,000 apples. Now, I know you were told there'd be no math in this first service today, so let me help you. The potential harvest in this single apple is between 100 and 160,000 apples. But only God can count all the apples in one seed. Let me repeat the question now. Could it be that it's the stuff in your life right now that may very well be the seed to your greatest harvest? Now, as Pastor mentioned, my wife and I, 44 years of marriage and ministry. Hallelujah. Now, we don't adopt this particular theology, but she qualifies for sainthood. Hallelujah. But let me just say, as you're going into this marriage enrichment conference this weekend, here's my 2 cents. I'd just like to say very, very proudly that in my household, I have the last word. Yes, dear. And it works. It's worked very, very good for 44 years. And so, but if you were to come alongside and to take a snapshot of our life, of the accumulation, if you will, of 44 years of marriage and ministry, raised 3 daughters, 3 son-in-laws, most importantly, hallelujah, 4 grandchildren. Woo! By the way, grandchildren are a reward for not killing your kids when they were teenagers. So just take heart, parents, take heart. There is a reward, hallelujah. And we live up in the Atlanta area because that's where our grandkids are, at least 3 of the 4, because we don't trust our kids to raise them. And so my wife and I feel led to be near them. But if you saw the picture, here's what you would see. You would see the glory, but you wouldn't know the story. So let me unpack just a little bit of our story. In 1988, at the ripe old age of 29, my wife and I became lead pastors at First Assembly of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'd been married 8 years at the time, and our daughters were 6, 4, and 2. For the previous 5 years, we had served as youth and associate pastors. We lived in a small little 2-bedroom house, 950 square feet. We lived in a very, very rough neighborhood. In fact, we had people killed at both ends of the street. But now on a lead pastor salary, and for the first time in our marriage, we now had a little something-something. We found out that lead pastors got paid more than staff pastors. Hallelujah, I felt led. But now we actually, I mean, we married 8 years, and we didn't have two nickels to rub together, but God was blessing our lives and ministry. And so we decided we wanted to be good, responsible parents, so we decided we need to start a savings account. 3 daughters, and we wanted them to be able to go to college and of course, weddings. And so we decided that would be responsible. My life verse for decision-making is Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We thought we were being responsible, and we were, But God had a different idea. How many of you know there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea? There's a difference between a good plan and a God plan. And so God has always had a bit of a sense of humor with us. And so he said, that's a good idea, but here's my plan for you if you're willing to accept it. He said, instead of starting a savings account, I want you to take that same savings and I want you to invest it into missions. And so my wife and I came to a revelation knowing that this is what God was challenging us to do. And so we did. So we followed this plan literally for the next 18 years. As our salary would increase and the blessing of God increased, so did our missions giving, and we had no savings for 18 years. Now, time fails me this morning to tell all the miracles of God's provision for house repairs and cars repairs and hurricane repairs. Believe it or not, in Charlotte, we actually had a hurricane come through there. I know it doesn't compare to what you guys deal with down here, and that's why I'm interested that you call it the Breeze Church and not the Wind Church. But anyway, I digress. So, but God provided in miraculous ways for those 18 years. Fast forward with me to 2006. Our middle daughter has just graduated from Appalachian State University, and she is engaged to be married. The date is set July 22nd, 2006. 4 months out from the wedding that is going to have 350 attendees in a country club reception, we have nothing saved for a wedding. Man, we had no safety net. We just believed God during those 18 years. Early on the morning of March 15th, at 5:30 in the morning, all three girls were home on spring break. We were getting ready to go on a little couple-day getaway. And at 5:30 in the morning, I awoke to hear my oldest daughter screaming that the house was on fire. Now, I got to confess to you, I saw this going differently in my mind. But in a matter of moments, all of the stuff of our life was either completely damaged or destroyed. A few days after the fire, his insurance kicked in, and now we're in a, you know, a little rented apartment, a little two-bedroom rented apartment. And several days afterwards, I'm sitting there early on a Friday morning, and the only thing that I have is my own. As I'm sitting there on my Aaron's Rent-A-Center sofa is my Bible. And my Bible just kind of falls open. And I'm sitting there with my coffee early in the morning. And it just falls open to Psalm 66. And I begin to read through this psalm. I came to this verse. We went through the fire and the water, but you have brought us to a place of great abundance. That morning I sat there and I just wept as I rehearsed the faithfulness of God and his promises over these previous 18 years. The Sunday following the fire, after service, a general contractor who was part of our church came up to me and just very stoically, he said, Pastor, God spoke to me. He said, insurance is going to give the general contractor 20% to do the repairs and rebuild, on your home. God spoke to me to be your general contractor, and I'm going to refund that 20% back to you. We moved back into our home 1 week before the wedding. Everything that was completely restored and paid for. The wedding was completely paid for. And oh, by the way, all of our stuff was replaced with brand new stuff. Come on, Breeze Church, give the Lord some praise. In 2004, 2 years before the fire, we're now pastoring a growing congregation in Hickory, North Carolina. And we were embarked on a $1.5 million renovation and expansion program. All three of our daughters were in college at the time. I'm driving a Jeep Cherokee with 220,000 miles and a bad paint job. We're still giving all of our monies to missions. But leaders lead, and they do so by example. And so we're in this capital campaign, and we go through the whole thing. We're going to have a banquet. And at that banquet, everybody's going to kind of sign on what they're going to commit over the next 3 years to this building project. The morning of that banquet, I woke up and the Lord just gave me the number. And I remember just laying there in bed and just laughing, thinking to myself, God has just given me a number. It's $40,000 to commit to this project. Now, you got to understand, we didn't have $400 to our name. But you see, we had already learned on our generosity journey that God moves into the room that we create for him, i.e. that's what a faith promise is. And so my wife was so excited, she didn't quite giggle as much as I did. But we had a revelation knowing that God was challenging this, that if he could get it through us, he would get it to us. And so the night of the banquet, I share how we came to this revelation knowing. Unbeknownst to me, there was a gentleman there. He attended on occasion. He was an avowed agnostic. And he would tell me later, he said, you know, I just like coming and listening to you talk. I said, man, that works. I like to talk and you like to listen. Wow. But he was in the banquet that night, and his wife was part of our team of this capital campaign. And out of her own resources, she had filled out a faith promise for $5,000 to the project. As he sat there and listened to our story that night, he took that faith promise and he put a four in front of it. And she looked at him and she said, you can't do this. They're really expecting this. He said, listen, if that preacher can do what he's doing based on what he makes, we can do more than that. Without exaggeration, within 30 days, God spoke to a businessman. He stopped by the church and he paid off our faith promise in full within 30 days. And oh, by the way, the agnostic, he committed his, he paid off his faith promise within 6 months. Come on, church, give the Lord some praise. You see, the most important day of the harvest is the day you choose your seed. And only God can count all the apples in one seed. Most importantly, you can trust God with the stuff of your life. But in late 2016, the Lord would surprise us again with our most significant epiphany to date. Jamie and I came to a revelation knowing that after 30 years of lead pastor ministry, we were finished pastoring, and he had a new assignment for us, and he was calling us out into this hybrid missions role as missions ambassadors. And that's what I refer to myself as, an ambassador. I'm an ambassador for missions because an ambassador represents the cause of another. And so we took a 40% pay cut with no benefits. You see, for 18 years, the Lord asked us for our savings, and along the way, he asked for some of our stuff. But in 2016, he asked for the rest of our lives. So my wife and I launched out into the deep. Here we are this morning, no regrets, because we truly believe that the most important day of our harvest was the day we chose our seed. Only God can count all the apples in the seed of our life, and we have chosen to trust God with the stuff of our life. But along our journey, we've learned a few things about giving and generosity. And I want to share them with you. Three types of giving this morning: reasonable, sacrificial, and revelation knowing. Here's the deal. We know as believers we've been bought with a price, yes? We understand that we are not our own, yes? We understand that everything we have and everything that we are and everything we hope to be is because of God. And we are sons and daughters of God, and it's all his, yes? And he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, yes? But he's entrusted the stewardship of that to us. And so we are stewards of the resources God's given to us. And so these three types of givings represent those stewardship. Reasonable giving, what does that mean? Well, for time purposes this morning, let me make the application directly to missions. You see, the responsibility of taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth is a shared responsibility, yes? And so wouldn't it be reasonable to expect that every believer should be a participant in the missions endeavor of the local church? Rhetorical question. The answer is not just yes. Yes! And so when it comes to these times where we're talking about missions, the reasonable expectation should be everyone participates. God gave me this little phrase years ago. It served me very, very well. And it's this: everyone can do some. Some can do more, and a few can do much. So we're all participants, but where generosity, that's a great place to start, but it's not a great place. It's not a great place to stay. How many of you want God to continue to increase his blessing upon your life? Well, with increased blessing is increased responsibility. And this is where generosity doesn't really get exciting until the realm of the sacrificial, i.e. the stuff of our lives. I love how Chip Ingram says it. This is God's genius in generosity, that he guards our heart against greed, by blessing us when we give away what we have. I love sacrificial. In September 2020, there was a young lady named Sydney Holmes. Sydney was part of the last church that we pastored. She was in elementary school. She always had a heart for missions. We had a missionary come through, and she was saving money for an American Girl doll. She took all of her American Girl doll money and gave it to missions. But now, as a college grad student, Sydney is sitting in a service very much like this, September of 2020, in a mission service. And she feels compelled. Now, she's paying her own way through grad school. She's working part-time, going to school full-time. She has roommates. She's barely making ends meet. But she was raised under this idea of reasonable and sacrificial. And so in that service, she makes a $50 commitment to missions. Well, she thought, well, faith without works is dead, and so I need to do my part. So she went to Hobby Lobby and she bought a soap making kit. What? I know, right? It was a disaster. But she went back and bought another one. She was determined to make soap. Now, she's no threat to the soap making industry. And quite honestly, the soap that made it through that second batch, she sold to mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, the roommates, you know. So she easily sold $50 of soap. That was in September of 2020. Through grad school, Sydney continued to sell soap. At last check, Sydney had raised every dollar for missions, $4,611 for missions. With the stuff. But where God really is always trying to get us is into revelation knowing. Because if he can trust us to release some of the stuff of our life and realize when we have those heart tug moments in a service very much like this, you've heard about Fire Bible and you're realizing, oh, I have some stuff in my life and man, I could use that. I think God wants me to partake of or to release some of that. When you start getting into that mode, then you start getting into this revelation knowing where God is. If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And if you'll move into that realm, God will always fill that realm. Let me close this morning with a personal illustration. In June of 2021, we based out of a great missions church in the Atlanta area called Chapel Hill Church. Great missions church this past year, over $2 million to Kingdom Builders. Yeah. And so they were having their 20th anniversary. A little church that started with a handful of people over 20 years grew to over 3,000 in four campuses. And so we based out of that church. I wasn't traveling that weekend, so I'm sitting on the front row during that service, and Pastor Dave gets up and he said, on this 20th year anniversary, we're going to take a great Kingdom Builders offering. And I'm like, yeah, Pastor Dave, you go. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say this, if you'll do the difficult thing, I'll do the supernatural thing. Now that was meaningful because years before I had done a series on God still does miracles. And in one of those parts, I talked about when something is required of us, if a lot of God's covenants and promises are conditional, if my people, and sometimes the Lord wants us to put ourselves out there. And so one of my points was, if we'll do the difficult thing, God will do the supernatural thing. Well, the reason that was a difficult moment was because the Lord was challenging me that morning to put $1,000 offering in. My wife wasn't with me in the first service, and I'm sitting there, and I'm having this revelation knowing that I'm supposed to, you know, give $1,000 missions offering here. And here was the deal. I was in the middle of writing the book. Now, I did all the writing, but I hired an editorial service, and I had a payment of $3,000 due to them in a couple weeks, and I had it set aside. Praise God. But I was chewing on something hard one morning, and my tooth broke. It was right up here in the front of the grill. Now, vanity run amok. Now I've got to have a dental implant, and I've got to have a crown equals about $5,000 to $6,000. So now I've got to take my book money and I got to pay a down payment for my grill money. And I'm in a quandary because the Holy Spirit's asking me to make an offering of $1,000. If you'll do the difficult thing, I'll do the supernatural thing. And so I went online and gave the offering, second service, exact same part of the service. My wife is now sitting next to me. As Pastor Dave jumps up there, what's your great missions offering this morning? I said, hey, baby, something funny happened at the first service. She said, Campbell, how much did you give? And I told her, she just rolled her eyes as if to say, God's got this. About 3 days before that payment is due to the editorial service, I need $3,000. And I'm already in the hole of $1,000. Go to the mail, open it up. How many of you know when God acts, it's better than making stuff up? God is so exact. And so there was a nice little note there, totally unexpected. They said, God just put it, thank you for what you're doing for missions. This is just to bless you. Open it up as a check for $3,000. So I was able to pay the editor. But I still needed some more grill money. 2 weeks later, was invited out to lunch. Long story short, there was someone at lunch with a friend of mine, never met before. At the end of lunch, he said, I want you to stop by my office on the way out of town. And I did. When I opened it up, it was the largest check we had ever received in our ministry. It paid off the rest of the book. It paid off the grill and replaced the offering and then some. In closing this morning, Breeze Church, let me remind you of these two things. God will always move into the room that we create for Him. And you can trust God with the stuff of your life. Could it be that it's the stuff in your life right now that may be the seed to your greatest harvest, and that seed is to be sown into missions for the glory of God? Will you stand with me as we pray this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of being here this morning, Lord. I just thank you for Pastor Blake and Brittany and their leadership here and their team. And all that you're doing here in the great reports. God, to you be the glory. I thank you for what you're doing in this church of great history. But Lord, the history is still in the making. And I pray that its greatest days of generosity, especially for missions, are in front of them. And that will happen because of wonderful folks that are here under the sound of my voice this morning, in their own responding out of the stuff of their life and said, you know, God, you've blessed me and I want to be a good steward and I want to invest it in kingdom work. And so, Lord, I just speak blessing over this house and blessing over these folks this morning that, God, the greatest days of Breeze Church are in front of them, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.